to open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 92. And your finger there. I want to take you to a couple other places before I come back.
I'd like to take you over to the book of Ephesians. Put your finger in Psalms 92 and go to Ephesians. Kindly went into already what I want to share with you a thought of, and it's a thought of being thankful. I was thinking as I was talking about the situation that I was dealing with and seeing, you know, I was thinking about myself, if there was been a president of the United States, if my son was in a position that I needed someone to intervene in, and he cared enough to intervene, how thankful I would be. But you know, the reason why people are not thankful is because, as I said, they don't see that there are things that they can't do for themselves and give themselves. And when you're that narrow-minded, then you're not thankful for anything. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, in verse number 19, it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for what? For all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn on over, if you would, Philippians chapter 4. Now, I know these are verses you're familiar with, but I want to lay a groundwork for where I want to go. Verse number 6 in chapter 4 of Philippians says, be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Thanksgiving,
let your requests be made known unto God. Word thanksgiving means to give him a thank offering. In other words, you offer God your thanks. In other words, it truly comes from you that you are grateful. And so when you come to him, you express your gratefulness to him for what he's done for you that you could not do for yourself. On over, if you turn just a moment and go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 18, in everything give what?
Thanks,
for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's in everything. You say, well, why should we thank God for everything? Turn on over one more place, and I'll take you over to Psalms. If you will, turn in the book of James. Book of James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1, verse 16. The Bible says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is what? From above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We could take time tonight, and I could have you to stand and say what you are thankful for. But let me let you in on this. I got some notes from the kids, and all the kids wrote me notes this week, and I really appreciate the notes. I read them all, and they wrote me notes about different things, how mean Miss Doris had been in my absence, and a few things like that. But I'm just kidding you. But you know, you could stand up tonight, and you could say, I'm thankful for my wife. But in reality, you need to say, I'm thankful to God for my wife. Because God is responsible for your wife. You can say, I want to thank God, or I want to thank my children. But in essence, you thank God for your children.
Right.
He is the one responsible. I'm thankful for the church. Thank God. He's responsible for the church.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my health. Thank God. He is responsible for your health. We all know, as I've just gone through, many of you have gone through, there are times when part of our health gets taken away. There was two nights when I had a nerve pinched and I could not get it to relieve. And I laid for 2 nights and 2 days without sleeping and could not get in a position where I could even get comfortable enough to close my eyes and go to sleep. And I never think much about that until then, and then I realized how fortunate I am not to have pain like that. But my point is this. We have one main source to be thankful for.
Amen.
Read, if you would, in the book of Psalms chapter 92. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. In other words, for everything we face during the day, and thy faithfulness every night. To be able to lay our head on our pillows at night and know that we have one that takes care of us. We're to be thankful to God. It says, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not. What does the word brutish mean? I know some of you all can tell me. What?
Stupid.
A stupid man. You know, the bald man showed himself to be a stupid man. He was a brutish man. Whenever we fail to give God thanks, we're stupid. We're brutish. The Bible says a brutish man knoweth not. In other words, don't know where it came from. Don't know who to thank for it. Neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as a grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. Now, Woodrow Wilson said this. He said, it said, a nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today. The reason why you have so many of these clowns running around this nation, burning the flag, refusing to stand to the flag, refusing to be thankful for the country, is they don't know where it came from.
Right.
We quit teaching in our schools where this country came from. And so therefore, what they do is, they don't know why this country is here. They don't know how much to appreciate this country. Just a little bit of history, and I won't spend much time, but a little bit of history. There was a group of pilgrims in 1600s. King James I was their king. The Church of England was in charge of all religion in England. It required you to worship the way they wanted you to worship, preach only what they would have you to preach, and do only as they said to do. They determined what was right, what was wrong. Therefore, if you didn't do it, they would persecute you. Sometimes they would kill you, and they would do all kinds of manner of things to you because you didn't obey the Church of England. And so the authority was in the church through the king. And so therefore, this group went to Holland. They were there for about 11 years. Then they decided to go to this new world. And there were about 40 pilgrims, and they got along with about 60 some more people, and they headed to the new world. They went there. There was a lot of hardships. August 1st, 1620, they set sail on a ship called the Mayflower. One of the beams cracked in the middle of the voyage. They thought it was going to destroy the ship and they was going to sink. And yet they had brought a printing press to be able to print the Bible. They took one of the big screws from a printing press and they propped the beam up. And it was able to hold. Some of them had tried to persuade the captain to turn around and go back. But they made it to the new land. Then eventually they landed upon Plymouth Rock. And they came upon this country. They didn't come into a country full of stores and houses and plentiful. They came to a cold, barren land. And when they got here, they were led by William Bradford. The first year, they lost half of their people through starvation, through freezing, through all kinds of elements that happened in this land. It was not an easy year. Even Bradford, that would come to governor, he lost his wife during that time. And so here they came, and just before they landed, they made a Mayflower compact in November 19, 1620. It was taken from the Bible. They understood if they were going to start a new civilization that they had to start it with God being the authority. The Word of God had to be their moral guide. Amen. Therefore, when you read the Mayflower Compact, it's no doubt that Christian people knew God wrote the compact. And so they came here. And they came and they established themselves there. And then the governor, Bradford, as he was here, they didn't find any friends, but then they met some Indians that was able to teach them how to plant corn, teach them how to fish in the waters for cod, taught them how to kill beaver for coats. And so what happened was, Governor Bradford, after 3 years there, he proclaimed a day of thanksgiving. This is what he said. Says, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year, they knew who to thank, by the way, and abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, has made the forest to abound with game, the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and diseases, and has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your master, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with all ye wives and all ye little ones, gather at ye meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. There, to listen to ye pastor, and to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. So we too have come this eve of the great celebration of thanksgiving to God, to give him thanks with these elements of communion, this bread representing the broken body of Christ, and this juice representing his blood. And they had the Lord's Supper as they commended the thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed by President George Washington. He set aside a time for prayer and for thanksgiving for the victory over the British and the establishment of a new nation. Now they're wanting to take statues of him and others away. And as Woodrow Wilson said, if you forget where you came from, you'll not know where you are. Abraham Lincoln set aside the fourth Thursday of each November as a time of prayer and thanksgiving. FDR made it a federal national holiday. Our last President Obama and others has stated that it was not a Christian nation. The only reason they say that is they have tried to go in and change the history of this nation. All you have to do is go back and read all the documents when this nation was founded. It was founded upon a Christian nation. And so therefore, President Obama didn't know what he was talking about. The reason why he didn't know where this nation is because he didn't know where the nation came from. And what he tried to do was he tried to take the nation to places that we didn't want to go. Those were places we tried to escape from. Our forefathers fled from England to have liberty. They did not want to go back to England and being like England. Now, the trouble with not being thankful is this. Turn your Bibles two more places. I won't hold you much longer, but I won't take you these places because it's very important. Listen to me. Unthankful people are going to hell. You hear me? Unthankful people ends up going to hell. I'll show you why. Look if you would in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You say, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. If you'll hang with me just a moment, I'll try to show you a thought. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, he said, listen, you young people, listen to me. You can walk outside and look upstairs, look up in the sky and see stars and moon. That's proof to you, the Bible says, that there is a God.
Amen.
You look around. You see the universe. You see a baby born. You see the body, the making of a body. And you see all the wonders of nature. He said, that's proof. You're without excuse when you pretend there's no such thing as God. Now, if you want to believe that somewhere along the way you came from swinging from trees like a monkey and eventually you turned in looking like you did, that's your prerogative. But you're a fool. If you want to believe that somewhere along the way there was a great bang and everything just turned out this way, or we formed from some type of microism and we developed over millions of years into human beings, that's your prerogative. But as for me, in the beginning, God
Amen.
Created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
He formed man from the dust of the earth. Look on, if you would, in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they what?
Thankful,
but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When you quit being thankful to God and recognizing he did things for you that you can't do for yourself, when you do that, then you lose all sight of morality. You lose all sight of conscience. You lose all sight of what is truth and what's not truth. You begin to believe lies, and you begin to think it's all about you. And the Bible says, look what happens. It says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now if you read on, the Bible said God gave them up, and all of a sudden, because they were unthankful for what God had done, and they didn't give God thanks, and they were not thankful to God for what he'd done, that men would start being with men, doing that which is unseemly and unnatural. And women would start being with women, doing that which is unnatural. And the Bible says here, if you read this whole chapter, he says that he will turn them over to a reprobate mind. And therefore, he goes on, he talks about how that being unthankful, it damns you in all your ways of thinking and all the things that's going on. Turn, if you would, on over one more place. This will be the last place I take you, into 1 Timothy. chapter, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, how many of you believe that we're living in the last days?
Amen.
The Bible gives us signs of times that we're living. But notice this in chapter 3, what Paul writes. He said, "This know also, in the last days, perilous or wicked or evil or dangerous times shall come." He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents," what?
Unthankful,
unholy. Says some of the signs that you will see of the signs of the times is kids would not be thankful for what their parents, and they would not be thankful for what they've got. And you know, each of you need to stop a few moments, and you need to be thankful for people in your life that God has put you into. God's made provisions for you to be in these places like this. He's made you possible for to hear. Because it's only through God, as some of them said this a while ago, only through God is our salvation. And it was not for the fact that you had someone to bring you to a place like this to hear the gospel, you might die and go to hell forever. And so during this season, we are to be thankful, and we can be thankful for mom and dad and all those, but first and foremost and primarily, we thank God.
Amen.
Because he's responsible for everything that we have.
Right.
You complain and say, "Well, I don't have the clothes that they have," or "I don't have..." But my friend, let me let you know something. You've got a lot more than what a lot of other people has.
Right.
And God's been awful good to you. And so forth. Therefore, the Bible says all good things come from God. And the Bible said there in Psalms chapter 92, says only a brutish or a foolish man, a stupid person, goes through life and is not thankful to God, the Lord upon high. And you know what? You can never... I read something where someone said, and it was just a little cute something, but it was truth. Said they went into the devil's barn and he had all the seeds that he runs around sowing all the time. And it was a seed of discontentment and seed of disappointments and complaints, and all that was in this bag. And said there was only one place that those seeds would not grow, and that was in a thankful heart. Because if you ever find somebody who's got a thankful heart, then they're thankful and they're truly grateful for what God has done for them. Now listen, let me leave you with this thought. Everybody needs to have a personal thankfulness. Every one of you all do. You young people, you need to thank God. You need to realize that what God's done for you. Say, "Brother Billy, I've got it awful good." Know who to thank for that. Know that, but it needs to be a continual, perpetual thanking God. In other words, you continually thank him. Remember what the Bible says? Only ignorant and foolish people doesn't thank God. And when you get where you're not thanking God, you're thinking that other people and other things provide it for you, then what you do is you turn away from God.
Right.
And you'll never be drawn to God. And you need to have a purposeful thankfulness. In other words, you need to know who to thank. The source is God. If you're ever going to be saved, you've got to be thankful.
Amen.
You've got to come to him with a... That's why the Bible says that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come to him recognizing that he's got a gift for us that nobody else can give us. If you want to get saved, you got to receive the gift of God. People say, "Well, I'm trying to do the best I can." My friend, you'll die and go to hell doing the best you can. God has a gift, and only he can give you the gift. Only he can save you.
Amen.
And that's why he above everybody else. That's why all of our forefathers and those who established the nation, they knew through everything they had and everything they went through, they knew there was one person to receive praise and honor. And the whole day has been set aside to honor God. So I'm going to ask you to do this week. every day, but especially at Thanksgiving, stop and be truly thankful to the one that is responsible for everything you are and everything you have.
Amen.
And understand what he's done for you. And if you've been saved, he's given you all these things that you're going to have in the future. A new home, a new life. We have so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
That's why when he says when we come together, it's the will of God to be thankful that we sing with psalms and melody and we lift up praise to him. We don't praise grandma. We praise God for grandma.
Amen.
We don't praise grandpa. We praise God for grandpa. And so therefore tonight, let us remember that the day of Thanksgiving, only one gets praise. Because every one of the gifts has come from him. Amen. Let's sing a song, Brother Porter, if you would.
385.